she couldn't see. And she lived by faith. And what a blessing and example she has been. Well, if you want to take your Bible with me and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll have verses 1 through 21 for our scripture reading. And we'll use the whole chapter as our springboard for the message today. And the title of the message is Proper Motivations for Planning. And you know, we kind of hit into a series here, but we'll just continue on that. I think it's very beneficial to our lives and our Christian walk with God. And so we'll share that today. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now, this is the Lord speaking. All right, this is when He was on the earth, and this is His teaching. So what we're going to be reading here is what He taught for a message. Wouldn't that be neat to have been sitting out there on the grass, out on the mountainside there, on the side of the hill, whatever, as He was speaking, and He said these words. But He says here, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow, what a wonderful passage. Of course, it was spoken by the greatest teacher ever, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just take some look at this morning. And as we've been talking, I mentioned we're in somewhat of a series. On the first Sunday of this year, we talked about the importance of planning and the high cost of failing to plan. Have you ever ended up losing a lot of funds because you didn't plan ahead? Because you weren't prepared. And so we talked about planning for the year 2017. That's hard to even say, isn't it? 2016 got by without me noticing. But 2017, here we are. We saw last week the preparation for performance, and we saw a challenge there that we needed endurance, focus, a passion, and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ as a good soldier. I might need to have that comparison. As a Christian, I need to have determination as an athlete. And an athlete is very dedicated to winning. He besets the stuff that would slow him down, and he focuses on the task at hand, and he focuses on doing it correctly. Is it important that we do things correctly? I talked about last time when I used to race cars, that if you missed the cone, if you missed the course, you didn't finish. Another thing here, we saw that discipline and patience was necessary, and it compared us to a farmer, and how that there was reward for that. But one of the things that wrap the icing on the cake of the last week's message was, we serve a risen Savior. Isn't that exciting? The Savior whom we serve, He's alive today. He has redeemed us, and we need to seek the opportunity to tell other people of that great opportunity too. Stop and think about it. What has God done for you? Don't you want everybody to know that? And so many times we get selfish with that. So don't forget, you serve a risen Savior. He wants the whole world to be saved. So therefore, joyfully serve Him out of a heart of love. And remember that when God gives you guidelines in His Word, it's there to help you. And sometimes He lists some things we need to avoid because they're dangerous. Do you ever tell your kids to look out for something? What happens when they don't? You know, you never tell your kids, I told you so, do you? But, you know, God is so good. And, you know, He doesn't need to say, I told you so. We kind of already know, right? And so what a loving God we serve. Well, today, we all want to look at the proper motives behind proper planning. Because motivation and your mindset makes all the difference. Have you ever noticed how well kids do a job when they don't want to? You know, and they're right in there doing it. And how long can it take you to do a job? It can take, when I was a kid and I didn't want to do it, it could take me, you know, a 5-minute job could take me all day. You know, it really could. And it still wasn't done all that well. You realize that as an adult, it's still the same. If I don't want to do it, it can take a lot longer. But, you know, when our heart is in it and the motivation is right, we can make work fun. And you ever notice how that kids come in from sports or an activity and they're sweating? That means they were working, exerting themselves because it was fun. Wouldn't it be neat if serving God was fun? It is. So keep that in mind. So maybe our motivation isn't right. So proper motives here in Matthew chapter 6, 1. Jesus right off the start said, take heed. In other words, think about it. What motives or what motivates your Christian walk? What is it that moves you? Jesus says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men. So what He's saying here is you can have the wrong motivation. And actually He's saying here, it's human to have the wrong motivation. It's human for us to focus on number one, right? You guys know that game Uno? You know Uno, that's number one, right, in Spanish. And you know, who are we always worried about? Old number one. And the Bible said very clearly that no man yet hated himself. In other words, we take care of ourselves. We keep that as a high priority. But is that what God wants us to do? Is that our, should that be our motivation? So, here in chapter 6 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the people, and He's challenging them about their motivation. And He says, your motivation as a believer should be to honor your Heavenly Father. That should be, motivate you in everything you do. And do you think that would change a lot of people's lives if our main motivation was to honor the Heavenly Father? I think it would change things a lot. And I just want you to realize that when you have a proper motivation, you want Him to notice. Now, where do wicked people usually do their evil deeds? Or what time of day do they usually do their evil deeds? At night. The Bible says they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So in other words, a robber is usually not too proud of it unless he posts it on Facebook and gets caught afterwards, right? Or on YouTube. You know, so, but what do? They do it in secret. Of course, you know, when they get done and they think they've accomplished something, that's when they get in trouble. They want to show it. But what they're trying to do is hide it. Why? Because they know it's wrong. And but we, as believers, we want God to notice what we do because we know that He'll be pleased. That's what our goal is. Have you ever noticed how little kids want you to come and watch them do something? Especially grandkids, you know, because we take more time. Grandparents have more time, or at least they take more time, to go see what the grandkids are doing. And they'll say, come here, come here, come here, watch this, right? And then they'll do it, and it doesn't work. And then they'll do it again. And they'll keep on trying. Are you leaving? Don't leave. Watch this. I'll get it. Right? And they do it. And when they get done, they're all excited. And why are they excited? They're even more excited when you approve. And they were seeking your approval. By the way, you know how exciting it would be to get God's approval? And that's what our motivation is to please Him. So if we're doing it, we're going to do it in the public, in His mind, and to please Him. So here, let me show you here verses 4, 6, and verse 18. Those four verses show us that the things that God wants us to do, we need to do with Him in mind. It says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So who did you want to see it? The Father. Verse 6, at the end it says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. So here again, who do I want to see it? My Heavenly Father. Verse 18, it says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what? Many people are seeking the approval of everybody else. When they work in the church ministry, they go like, you know what? I did this for the Lord and no one's noticed. The pastor hasn't even come and he hasn't written me a letter of commendation. He hasn't written me and said, thank you. No one in the church even noticed. I cleaned the church. I did a great job. And all the people had to do to appreciate that was throw stuff on there again. You know, it gets frustrating. You clean the church, right? And it just gets trashed up again the next time. But you know what? The Bible says where the stall is clean, it's empty. All right? So we got to rejoice that people are coming and that they're using the facilities for the Lord. But you know what? If you're doing it for God, you won't necessarily need that approval. Now, how many of you appreciate when people notice? We all do. Should we notice what other people do? Yes, we should. But what's our main motivation in when we do things for God? That He notices. And I just want to get that. Jesus wanted to get that across in this message. So, here's a question I want to ask you. Do you think that it's proper for us to look forward to rewards from God? Now, see, that's a tricky question because, you know, for a while in my life, I'm going like, well, you know, am I being selfish in looking forward to what God has for me? But you know what? I found out as I studied the Scriptures that it is a principle of God that when we serve Him, He rewards us. And He wants us to be excited about that. Now, it's one thing to have to be bribed to do something. That's wrong. We don't bribe our kids at home, right? You don't say, if you do this, I'll give you this so that they behave, do you? But when they do what you tell them to do and then you give them something, that's a reward. You see the difference between a bribe and a reward? And so what happens if we... I'm not really getting into child rearing, am I? But if we bribe our children, what are we raising? Children who say, what's in it for me? And pretty soon you can't afford them when they become teenagers. All right? Their demands are too high. But when we give them rewards for what they do, that's what the Heavenly Father does. He is very pleased with us when we are, and He rewards us. And there's nothing wrong with looking forward to the approval of the Father. And I just want you to realize that. Get excited about what God's going to do for you. Because remember, you're doing things to please Him, and that's one of His principles. He ordained that. I didn't understand that at first until another preacher showed me that, and then I started looking in God's Word, and I've noticed that to be true. And so God wants us to be excited about that. When we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want you to realize that that is our way of showing Him that we love Him. And by the way, do you realize that you can only give back what He has already given you? Do you realize that everything we have to give Him was a blessing from Him in the first place? And when I stop and think about it in that way, light, I realize that, you know, I sure am blessed. And what right do I have to say like, oh, I don't know if I should give Him anything or not. Look what it's costing me. What is it costing you? You had nothing. You know, it's just like when I wanted to give something to my dad or my parents when I was younger, I would say, Mom, I want to buy something for Dad for his birthday. Now, I was loaded with bucks, right? How many of your kids have a job? You know, so I didn't have money. So she would say, I said, can I do something or can I have some money to buy something for Dad? Or maybe we were shopping. And I said, can I get this for Dad? Guess who was buying that gift? Dad. And so what was I doing? He was providing for me so that I could buy him a gift. But you know what? It allowed me to show him I loved him. And that's what he does for us. He allows us to show us we love him. And so where is your motivation? Do you realize what he's done for you and are you motivated then to return that love and to do the things that seek his approval and not of the world? Because God, Lord Jesus Christ here said, beware of the wrong motive. And what was that wrong motive? You can write it down in a five-letter word. It starts with a P called pride. And what does that pride do? It says, I want to be seen of men. And so we'll take a look at that. So here today we're going to look at four Christian duties. And note I said duties. These really weren't options. Because, you know, so many people think that serving God is an option. And since we get to do it because we love Him, it almost seems that way. But they're really our duty to do. And so here are the duties and the proper motives behind each one. So what is required in my Christian walk? And what makes you think that it's something that we should do? Look at verse 3, 6, and 17. And I want you to see if God didn't want it. It says, when thou doest alms. Did you notice that? It says when? Is that something that he expects you're doing, or you might? If you, he was expecting that it was an option, he might say what? If. But he says when. Now what's the other verse? Verse 6. It says, when thou prayest. Look at verse 17. It says, when thou fastest. So we're going to look at these four things today. And the first one is proper almsgiving. Now, what is alms? Alms means this. It means compassionateness. In other words, deeds befitting and benefiting to others. What is the word to befitting? Well, in other words, gifts that really are something that people need. Now, in Christianity, ever since I was a kid, I've noticed that there's people who give with the wrong attitude. And, by the way, almsgiving here is not tithing. All right, he's not talking. You notice a lot of people use this for tithing, but this is not tithe. This is beyond. This is almsgiving. And sometimes when I was growing up, I heard this story, and I didn't think it was true. I mean, it just couldn't be. But I heard stories about missionaries who were on the foreign field who received gifts from people here in the States, and they sent them over, and they sent them tea bags. And they were used. And so I'm like, you're kidding me. You would receive or send out used tea bags? And so the missionary, well, they've got more use in them. So why didn't that person use them and send them the new one? But what the point is like, we are begrudgingly giving to God, so we give Him second best. And so be careful. And I didn't believe that that was necessarily true. Until one day the missionaries came and they said, you know, and I was just talking to them, and I got, you know, be really good friends. And so I started asking them some questions. And they said, one of the worst things that they get are packages from the States with invaluable goods, because they end up paying more duty than what they could have bought them for there in their country, because people were sending over either junk or used items that they really couldn't benefit from. And so, you know, where was the motivation in those gifts? The point of the matter comes is that their motivation was in what? Begrudging giving, and it's a duty, or this is to please. I sent the package to the missionaries. And the same thing, we sent a package here to our military. We've done that a few times. Care packages when they were in Afghanistan and different things. And we would send them over there. You know, we were very careful that what we sent was valuable, was something that was worth the freight. It was something that was worth it. You know, sometimes the gifts were cheaper than the freight. And so you better be careful what you have. And so we need to be careful. And that's what it means here about alms. It's something that's befitting. In other words, something that will help the person. You know, you can throw stuff at people, but if it isn't what they need, it's not really an alms. It's not really a help. Does that make sense? So Jesus is saying here that gift or alms needs to be befitting and benefiting to others. So what about this passion behind this almsgiving? Well, first of all, we give to meet others' needs in a Christ-like fashion. In other words, it demonstrates the heart of love. Can I ask you this? What has God given to mankind because He loved them? What has Jesus Christ given to you to demonstrate His love? I can think of a verse right away in Romans 5:8. It says, but God commended, in other words, He demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wasn't looking for the cleaned up people. He came while we still hated Him. He demonstrated His love. He says, you know what this person needs to know? I love them. Whether they accept me or not, I'm going to give. And He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave Himself that you might have eternal life. Oh, my friend, can you give more than that? Can you say, God, boy, I went way beyond in my giving. You know, when you go before the Lord, it's kind of hard to say, I'm the biggest giver. Because He's already given more. And so just desire to have that loving heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be your motivation and give according to meet the needs of others. There was another passage in the Scripture in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And it talks about someone in the Bible that was alive at the time when Jesus was walking the earth. And matter of fact, Jesus was sitting in the back of the church, in the back of the temple, as people were coming in. Now, they didn't take offering like we do today, you know, or at least in our church. We pass the offering plate up and down through the pews. But they had a box in the back. So as you came in, you just put your money into the box. Now, some people, the Bible talks about, and we'll hear about it here a little later in this passage, the Pharisees would give their alms and their things after they blew a trumpet. Can you imagine hiring a trumpeter to go with you down the street? So when you're going to give some money to a homeless person, they blow the trumpet, so everybody looks and goes like, I'm giving so much money to so-and-so. But that's what they did. Can a person get to that point? Well, yeah, you can. But as they were coming into church, they were giving here to the temple, to God's house, to God's work, and they were putting it in. The Bible says, Jesus, notice how many of the rich people put in a lot. But he said he watched as a certain widow came, and she put in two mites. You ever heard of the widow's mite? And she puts in two mites, a little copper coin, not silver, it's not gold, not much value, the lowest value of money you could have. She throws it in there. And you know what Jesus did? He'd go, what'd she even do that for? I can't use that. That's not worth anything. What'd she put that in for? Way to waste the time. No, he didn't. Matter of fact, he got excited. He said, hey, disciples, come here. And they all come over there. What? Did you see what she put in? And I can just think of what they would think of first of all. What'd you do? Did she put in $1,000? She put in two mites. And they're going, huh? Two mites? What's the big deal? Two mites. That's all her living. In other words, it's not the amount, it's what? It's your heart. So God is looking not at the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. And so God is looking for the proper motivation. And you see, he sees in secret. I can't see your heart, for which we're all glad, right? That no one else can see our hearts, but God can. And people may, this put it this way, you can impress the pastor all you want, but the person you need to impress is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, think of this. Here's another man in the scripture that Jesus brought out. It was the Good Samaritan. Remember him? Oh, what happened with the Good Samaritan? Well, he came by and saw, and it was probably a Jewish man. The Bible, I don't think, says what race the man was that was beat up, but I believe he was a Jew. But remember how the other Jews had come by and looked from far off, or looked and passed on? What did the Samaritan do? Which, you know, were hated by the Jews. He should have just went like, serves you right. But he didn't. He stopped. And what did he do? Out of motivation of love, the Bible says he gave. What did he give? Did you ever stop and think about what he gave? First of all, he risked his life. Remember, the others didn't stop and risk their life. Someone had just beat him up. He could have been robbed and beaten up too. I mean, maybe what if they're lurking in the background just waiting for someone to help and then their guard's out? But he didn't do that. He risked his life to help. Not only that, he took of his own finances to help. Remember, he put him in the motel and he said, I'm going to have to leave, but here's some money to take care of him. And if you need more, send me the bill. Open-ended check on that one. Not only that, he gave of his resources. He gave of what? His own medicines, his oil and wine that he poured in the man's wounds. He put him on his donkey. He led him, took him and walked, apparently, so that this man could have help. You see, he gave up a lot. Why did he do that? Because he was obligated? Maybe he was trying to impress the Jews so that they would like the Samaritans from then on. Well, this one Jew might. It might have changed his life. But you know what? If he was looking for that man's thank you, that man was still in bed when he left. He may have not got the thank you. But who would you get the thank you from? Who noticed? Who told the story? God did. So that's the key. Your motivation needs to be to get recognition from the right kind of person. Or from, not the right kind, the right person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the Lord Jesus warned. He says, you know what? You need to give in a Christ-like spirit, but you need to make sure that you don't give because you're selfish. A lot of the people here gave to be noticed by the crowd. In other words, you ever heard the saying, don't toot your own horn? Did you know that was right out of the Bible? That's a Bible deal? Because right here in this passage, he said a lot of them would sound a trumpet to be seen of men. So don't toot your own horn. Secondly, we shouldn't give to be noticed by the crowd. And secondly, we shouldn't give to be noticed by the recipient. That's another good one, isn't it? You know, hey, I gave to be noticed by everybody else. But what about that person? Are you going to say thank you now? You know, I've done that with my brothers and sisters. You know, that's not the way brothers and sisters are. I'll do that for you, but you better say thank you. And it better be big. And you bet now you know you owe me, right? Isn't that the way it is in siblings? And here's the third one that God warned about. Because we can give to be noticed by the crowd. We can give to be noticed by the recipient. But we can also give to be noticed by ourselves. Stop, think about it. To boost our ego. Now, wait a minute. Is that the proper motivation? to have in giving? I think we already know the answer, and I better keep moving. You see, proper giving reaps God's approval, and it reaps God's reward. Is there a picture of that in the Bible? There's a man named Barnabas. The Bible, they said they renamed him that because it means the son of consolation. In other words, Barnabas was a man that had a heart. It was huge. And he had a heart like Christ, and he wanted to give to others. That's why he sold his land and gave it to the church to meet the needs of the people in the church. Why? Because he wanted their needs to be met. He loved them. Why did Ananias and Sapphira sell their land and bring the money to the church? To be noticed by everybody else. But you know what? When you give with the wrong motivation, it profits you nothing. What did Ananias and Sapphira lose? Everything. What did Barnabas gain? Everything. And what did he desire? Nothing. All he sought was to be a blessing and a help and have the heart of Christ. You know what? What a wonderful life it is to have the right motivations. Because now I'm going to do the right things and I'm going to be rewarded for it. So proper almsgiving. That's very interesting. You know, it's mentioned first because I think that our pocketbook is the first area God deals with in our lives. I really do. And that... Has you ever noticed that your pocketbook is tied directly to your heartstring? You know, it's like, and as we become closer to the Lord, that cord gets separated. And we say, here, Lord, you know, what's this illustration of they're talking to the farmer? And they said, how in the world can you as a small farmer give so much to God? And here's what the farmer, he says, when I give, God gives back to me and he's got the biggest shovel. And so just remember, you can't outgive God. And so with that in mind, let's move on to the second thing that God wants to talk to us about here. And that's proper prayer. And I want to challenge you, verses 5 through 15, it's the longest passage. So this probably has the most power, the most important part of the passage is prayer. And I challenge you for 2017, set your priority on prayer and with the proper motivation. What is your priority for 2017? Have you made your plans yet? You know, here we are. This is the third week of 2017, and we preached on the first week about making plans. Have you made any? You say, well, I'm planning on doing that. Okay, you made some, but let's go ahead and do it. You know, and so challenging you here, what about prayer? Well, is it possible for prayer to be prideful and thus worthless? You know, here in the passage in verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You mean to tell me that a hypocrite would pray? Yes. Have you ever heard one? You know, I know, and I want to spend more time and I'm going to run out. But I want to challenge believers that no matter how long you've been saved, or no matter how good of a speaker you think you are, you should never be afraid to pray in public. Because you're not praying to impress the people in the auditorium. You're talking to who? It's an honor to be asked to pray in public because what you're doing is you're addressing God for the whole group. Now, does God require you use special fancy words before He'll hear you? Oh, isn't that a relief? He does not require that. And so when we pray sincerely from the heart with the motivation of speaking with God and being heard of Him and not so much by the rest. And so if everybody else is listening, so what? You're talking with God. So hypocritical people, they pray so that they can be heard of who? The Bible says here that they might be heard of men. Now, how many men have ever answered your prayers? I'm sure it happens sometimes, but who do you want to hear your prayers? Some man or God? I mean, I think that's an easy one. So why are you praying to men is what the question is. Now, I know that they were joking about looking up in the attic of Faith Baptist Church, and they looked up there and said, oh, there's the prayers of the Baptists all stuck up in there. But we reshingled the roof and they're out. But we were just joking about that. But you know what? A lot of times our prayers don't get above the ceiling. And why is that? Because they're not directed to God. They are directed to men. And God knows your heart if you're talking to Him at the time or if you're trying to impress the people. And if you're impressing people, you have your what? Your reward. Now, when I pray, it's usually about something more serious than just being happy and satisfied that someone heard it. And so I want them to have the right motivation in prayer. So pride can make your prayer worthless. But he says there's a proper place for prayer. Notice that in verse 6. Now, can I pray in my car? Can I pray? You can pray anywhere. However, I recommend you don't close your eyes when you're driving and you pray. Okay, that this just for my sake, don't do that. You know, but think about it. Can you pray anywhere? Can you pray lying down, standing up? Do you have to? So what God is not saying here is that there's only one method you can pray. And matter of fact, the Bible has every position that we normally find ourselves in mentioned in the Bible, someone praying, and God heard it. But what he's trying to say here is your motivation behind your prayer and who hears it is really summed up in verse 6. It says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Why do you go into a closet? And by the way, a lot of people make a prayer closet. And there's a reason for that. That's because it's quiet. It's a special place that when you enter it, it even helps you right then get the right attitude. Hey, I'm entering a place to talk to God. This is His time. And we shut the door. Why is that necessary? Moms, tell me that one. You know? Because everybody's going to try to interrupt. The devil doesn't want you praying. If you're praying, God's power's coming. And he's in trouble. You know what? He's not worried about it at all if you live your Christian life but don't pray, because you're not going to have any victories. So he's not worried. You want to scare the devil? Start praying. Start praying regularly and start praying in the proper manner here. So here we are, a place of prayers in your closet where God hears you, and it's for Him and Him alone. What are some principles of prayer? Well, you ever notice here in verse 7 and 8, we are talking to God, and it says that He already knows what our requests are before we ask. But how many of your parents know what your kids need, but you still tell them to say please? Why do you make your kids say please? Because you're mean, cruel parents and you just want to make them go through the misery of having to humble themselves and say please. You know how hard it is to say please for a kid sometimes? You stick with it? So what's the point of you having them say please? Well, it's polite, right? It makes them admit that they have a need and they have to ask for it. And then when they receive it, they say what? Thank you. You know what? If we never asked God for anything, we would just take it for granted. And by the way, He has given you many blessings. Have you noticed them? And so when we ask and He supplies, therefore we can appreciate it. You know, He already knows. So you don't have to ask Him over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Now, there are some things that God says that we should continue to pray for, but it's not the repetition that does the trick. Okay, so as we go on here, some principles of prayer. God just wants us to hear us say please. Remember, He said, ye have not because ye ask not. All right, so now what is the pattern for prayer? I know the place of prayer. I know the principle of prayer. What's the pattern? Well, here we're going to see a model prayer. Is this the only way I can pray? You know, I heard so many people have this memorized, and that's good. But I don't want to just say this prayer every time I pray or over and over, because then again, I'm doing what? Vain repetition, just like He said, don't do. What is He saying? Here's a model prayer. Here's what you pattern your prayer after. Now, let's make it personal. So what are some of the things He says here? Well, first of all, it's the Father's person. When I speak to Him, I realize who He is and I tell Him so. He is the Heavenly Father. When you get into that prayer time with the God alone, do you stop and think about who you're praying to? I don't know how about you, but when I'm really tired, I a lot of times, would you say, daydream and forget about where I'm going. And then I repeat myself and I catch myself, you know, maybe just rambling. You know, I have to apologize. Can you imagine going before an almighty King here on earth and you come before His presence and you start saying something to Him and then you let your mind wander and you start babbling about this and that? What would that King do? What is this guy? I don't have time for this. Aren't you glad that God's patient and He has time for us and He loves us? But let's go with the proper attitude. I'm going before the throne of grace, before God Almighty, and I want to use this time to address some issues with Him. Lord, and by the way, it sure is good that You let me come. It sure is good You called me. And so here I am. So honor Him for who He is. Tell Him how great He is. That's what it says. Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be Thy name. What's that saying? Hallowed. That's showing honor. Do you honor His name? You know what? You could try a prayer sometime and do nothing but praise Him for who He is. And that would be a wonderful prayer. The second thing here is He's asking for the Father's purpose. It says here, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what is He saying here? I want Your plan to be done today. Now, stop and think about this. If His plan is done on earth, that includes who? That includes you. And so it's just like, Lord, I want You to have free reign on earth today, and I'll see You later. No, it's saying like, Lord, have Your way on earth and in my life. And so there you can apply it to you. Lord, what do You want me to do today? You see how personal this is getting? And so we see here, first of all, the Father's person. We see the Father's purpose. And now we want to seek the Father's provision. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, stop and think about that prayer. I'm not going to get very far, but prayer is so important. What is the importance of this? Your daily bread. How many of you have ever been down to your daily bread? Someone mentioned this morning that you've never been in a place where you've been starving. I've never been down to a daily bread. I've been to a place where there's nothing in the cupboards. But you know what that means in America? That means there's only oatmeal or something. You know, you could probably live for another 2 weeks or a month. You know, it wouldn't be on what you liked. So in other words, there's nothing I want right now. But how many of you really have nothing in the cupboards? But what this is saying, give us this day, our daily bread. Most of us already have a week's worth. And basically, we're about thanking Him for it. So here, that's true faith. Father's provision. Next one He asks us here is the Father's pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Did you see that statement? Lord, would You forgive me like I've been forgiving everybody else? Stop and think about that. How have you been forgiving other people? Well, I'm going to forgive them when they get sorry enough. Right? You know, or I'll forgive him after he's made up. You know, like brother and sister. You know, go make up. Well, he doesn't mean it. You ever heard that one before at home? All right. So, how are we forgiving others? Do you dare ask God to forgive you like you've been forgiving other people? I think there's a lot of Christians stuck on this one. And you know what? What does God say in verse 14 and 15? If you don't forgive them, God won't forgive you. Matter of fact, He won't hear your prayers anymore. Another passage in the Scripture, God says, men, if you don't love your wives, God doesn't hear your prayer either. And I think there's a lot of Christians who are struggling there too. So be careful. God wants our hearts to be right because remember, He's seeking your motives when you pray. And the next thing He says is to seek the Father's plan. And lead us not into temptation. And so here's the plan. Where do You lead me? You know, if I go myself, where am I going to be? And Lord, keep me out of trouble. And then lastly, the Father's power. Deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom and the power. You know what? When you pray to Him, He can answer. You could come and ask me. You could come over to Pastor Pepley's house. I have a big debt. Pastor, I owe $1,000. Could I have $1,000? You're laughing because that's not a big debt. You might end up being in trouble. But you know what? That's not a problem for God. Because you know what? He can't make a debt too big for Him. Matter of fact, He might make a debt too big for you so you can see He can pay it. But what He's saying here is when you go to Him, He's got it handled. You're not going to a God who might be able to handle it today. It's not like you're saying the government has a plan and a grant for this if there's money available. Now, I've heard that plenty of times. There's this government program on this thing, and they're going to assist you if there's money available. When's that going to be available? We're not sure, but the plan is there. Everything's set up in case it comes. That's not with God. God has it. He owns everything. So it's not a problem. So pray with confidence. God has the power. And how long is God going to be in control? Well, we see that God is preeminent. He is going to be here forever. What a wonderful thing. So there's the proper prayer. What is God's ability to perform? It is unmatched. It is boundless. Now, let me give you the last ones. This next one is proper fasting. And by the way, fasting is where one appetite is forsaken for a greater desire or appetite. In other words, I'll give up my appetite to eat so that I can fulfill my appetite to please God. Something important is on my heart I want to present to Him. And by the way, Jesus was an example of that in Matthew chapter 4. Again, we could have the wrong motive behind fasting. And that would be what? Again, your pride and ego. You're going like, I am fasting. I am so spiritual. A matter of fact, I'm so spiritual, I just can hardly stand it. You know what? God can't stand it. I can tell you that right now. We don't fast so that we can build our ego. We don't fast for men's applause. Remember what the Bible says some of these guys were doing? They're going like this. Whenever someone would come around them, they're going like, oh, is something wrong with you? I'm fasting. Oh, really? Yeah, I really am concerned about this matter. And so I'm praying and fasting. How long have you been fasting? Oh, all day now. Do people do that? Yeah. So what am I supposed to do when I'm fasting? Wash my face. If if I'm a lady, put on my makeup, do whatever. I go out of the house and I'm happy and cheerful. I guarantee you this, if you're truly fasting, you probably won't have the energy level you did. But you know what? Every time the stomach goes, you don't go, you go like, Lord, still have that need. This is important to me. And Lord, I know you're going to take care of it. That's what fasting's all about. All right? So what, by the way, who do you want to notice your fasting? Because if he goes like, oh, well, I hope you get what you want. That's not really what I was seeking. So fasting. Now, as we go on, what's the proper motive there? It's to please God. That third one was proper treasure. What is treasure? That's something of great value to the possessor. So once again, there can be a wrong kind of treasure to seek. Some seek earthly treasure, right? The earth is valuable to me. Well, what happens to all the earthly treasures? They're all temporal, right? They rust, corrode. If ladies love lots of shoes and lots of clothes, and that's what you seek after. By the way, how long do they last? What happens if a moth gets in there or something? They get destroyed. Men, we like vehicles, right? What happens to them all the time? We bend them. Someone bends it. It breaks down. Rust and moth dust corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. What Jesus is saying is there's no security in things. So they're not worthy motivation for living. So what is the proper motivation? What should be your treasure? Heavenly things. My life verse, Matthew 6:33, not saying that I have accomplished it, but it's what I strive for every day. And that's in the same passage here. Jesus gets to it, and we just don't have time to get there. He says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what's our goal as a Christian? Riches? No. Heavenly things. I want to serve God today, and I want to be righteous. I want to do what's right. And then what will be added unto me? My Father who sees in secret will what? Reward me openly with what? All those things everybody else is working so hard to get. And so can God provide you with something as nice as what I could buy if I didn't take time with Him? He provides me with better all the time. So we see here, He says in heaven there are no moths, no corruption, and no thieves. So put your treasure there. Proper treasure means a proper value system. And so what is valuable to you? What does your heart seek? Jesus said you can't serve two masters. So in conclusion, in verse 25 through 34, He says that. And then I put this here. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and your motivation will be correct. So what's the end promises? Your desires will be fulfilled if your desires are on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, simple to add to today's message or to end it, to conclude with proper motivations for planning for 2017. What is your goal? To make money this year? To get all your bills paid off? To accomplish this, 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 and this? Or is it to serve God every chance I get and let Him worry about everything else? That's what Jesus wants us to be. So let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and close with an invitation. Invitation is a time for us to think about what God has said to us through the message. And I'm not sure what He's spoken to you on. Maybe you haven't received Christ as your Savior. Today He wants you to trust Him, to give your life over to Him, to let Him manage your life. How well have you been doing? And He just wants you to trust in Him and receive Him as your Savior. That will guarantee you eternal life and a life here worth living. Maybe you're a Christian and you've forgotten to forgive others. Maybe for 20-some years you've been bitter against someone. You know what? For 20-some years your prayers have been hindered. Today is the day to get that taken care of so that you can have an open line with the Lord, that open fellowship. Oh, you're still His child, but that fellowship's being hurt because of the bitterness you're harboring. You're not letting the heart of Christ rule in your life. So maybe in other areas, maybe your prayer life isn't what it should be. This is 2017. You got a whole year to work and make it wonderful. But it starts when? Today. Let's stand and sing hymn number 385. It's a song of testimony. I am thine, O Lord. 385.